Howdy, you law learners. This is the Criminal Nuggets Podcast. This is the show that digs deep into the Illinois criminal case law. Today, though, it's going to be Scott's Law. What exactly is Scott's Law? You know how you hear a term of art in court, or you hear somebody say something, like 70-75% of the time, you know what they're talking about. You've read it. You've looked it up. You're informed on the topic. I heard an attorney talking about Scott's Law, some of the ramifications of it, and I literally did not know what the heck Scott's Law was. And I mean, I kind of go in and out of courtrooms lately. I'm out of courtrooms, and so I don't have as much courtroom street cred. And so I immediately had this attorney by the name of Peter Wachkowski, had him sit down with me. Thank goodness he was willing to. Give me the lowdown, explain it all to me, tell me everything that we need to know about Scott's Law. If you work in a court building, I'm pretty sure, and you're an attorney, I'm pretty sure somebody along the line is going to be asking you about what Scott's Law is, what are the ramifications, how could it affect a person's driver's license, how much money are we talking about? Listen in, I think, Peter, if you're not as informed on Scott's Law as you probably should be, Attorney Wachkowski is going to give you the lowdown. Let's just jump right into it.
Pete Wachkowski, I mean, the majority of what I do, honestly, even though we're talking about something different today, is I represent a lot of injured people, majority personal injury, workers' comp, but I also have a percentage of my practice that involves representing people on criminal cases, including tickets, and like what we're talking about today, Scott's Law.
You also handle some DUIs too, though.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that, I mean, that's a decent percentage of my practice.
All right, and you already mentioned our topic, Scott's Law. I guess I should say I'm embarrassed to say I know generally about Scott's Law because you told me, but before you and I had a conversation, I'm ignorant on Scott's Law. What is this?
All right. So first thing, okay, I mean, we're both attorneys, all right? And so I guess we could and should maybe be embarrassed that we, you know, don't know, or sometimes we find out about stuff. And I found out about this, I mean, a while ago, right? But a lot of people don't know. So basically what it is Scott's Law is the law that is the move-over law. So what it says you're supposed to do is you're driving down the expressway, obviously more than one lane, and you see, well, here's what it used to be, okay? You'd see a police officer over on the side of the road with lights flashing. You are supposed to do one of two things or both. And what you're supposed to do is move over. So if you can safely change lanes, you're supposed to change lanes. You know, obviously, you want to be careful. You know, if just because you see a police officer over on the side of the road, you're not supposed to crazily try to change lanes and go over to the left if you're going to cause an accident. So obviously it depends on traffic. So you got to move over if you can or slow down, but you probably should do both. And so the change of the law that came into effect in 2017, and this was what was mind-blowing for me, was that not only does it include police officers, it's any kind of emergency vehicle, any civilian. Anybody on the side of the road now with the lights flashing, you got to get over. And that's it. Or slow down.
Was there some Officer Scott out there where this sort of began?
Well, okay. So he wasn't an officer. Actually, what he was is he was a lieutenant with the Chicago Fire Department. And what happened was is they were investigating. Basically, he was an intoxicated driver that came by and hit him while this guy was assisting at a crash on the Dan Ryan Expressway. If you want to get, you know, really technical about it, the official day in remembrance of him is December 23rd of every year.
I'm assuming there's probably some harsher penalties involved here.
Obviously, more harsher penalties. Here's the deal, though, too, because just so people understand, it's not just moving over to the right, because if the most police officers pull people over to the right, so you got to get over to the left. Whatever lane the officers are in, if they're in your far lane or your right lane, you got to move over. Okay, and yeah, and the penalties obviously can be very high in these situations. So you can face a fine of up to $10,000, even a 2-year suspension of driving privileges, and possible jail time. So yeah, I mean, it can be really severe. Now, obviously, you know, as a past criminal attorney, these are theories, right? And these are the maximums. And obviously, for someone to get that kind of stuff, you got to be a pretty bad boy in your previous life.
In a courtroom, is this filed under like a misdemeanor? Is it still an ordinance violation? How are they treating
it? No, it's not an ordinance violation. It is, you know, under the ILCS. So it's, you know, Illinois. It's an Illinois statute. It is not a misdemeanor. So, it's not a misdemeanor law. It is a traffic offense. but it's looked at real serious, and officers obviously, you know, are concerned because they're out there trying to be safe, pulling people over, and the last thing they want to do is get creamed.
Got it. And I heard, so maximum $10,000 fine. And did you say a 2-year suspension?
Yeah, it could result in up to a 2-year suspension of driving privileges and possible jail time.
Okay, so all that's pretty, I mean, that's something to worry about. Do you know, first of all, like supervision, is that something that a driver would be eligible for?
You can get supervision. And I know that from personal experience because I had a client that I recently represented who unfortunately was a CDL driver. And so at the end of the trial, the judge gave supervision. Unfortunately, from my understanding from my CDL client, is that the Secretary of State is not going to allow that particular offense for this CDL driver to wind up being a supervision. It's going to have a greater effect because he had a CDL. But yeah, you can get a supervision on it.
Got it. So that was the asterisk for the individual commercial driver's license. Interesting that you've actually been to trial on this statute. How is this defended in general? What are the options that you have defending against it?
If the person can testify, if the truth is, right, that they slowed down, they made an attempt to slow down, and if they couldn't change lanes, then, you know, and I would imagine if the police officer noticed that they slowed down, that it would help. I can tell you, in my particular case, I learned something afterwards. So here's what happened. My client was pulled over by a Cook County sheriff. And what happened was, is he's driving a truck. He claimed that he was driving in the right lane the entire time. And that because people were merging over from that right lane to the left lane, and as a result, they were slowing down and the gaps were, you know, getting smaller in between, there was no way that anybody was going to let a truck in. So he said what he did was that he slowed down and he kept going in that right lane. And then the Cook County Sheriff was off on the right hand, you know, off to the on the shoulder. And then what happened is the officer testified that he was sitting there actually looking for violators of Scott's Law. And he was looking over and he said that my client, what he did was he actually switched from the left lane into the right lane because it had opened up. Somebody was lying. So either my client didn't want to say, well, yeah, I did do that, I just stayed in that lane. Or the officer, maybe didn't actually see the way it happened and assumed he was there. The officer testified that he heard the engine revving. What I learned was, because he pulled me out aside afterwards, he said, look, you know, I want to tell you something. My dad was a truck driver. And had the facts been that your guy changed lanes from the left lane into the right lane, because those cars were abruptly stopping and he wanted to avoid an accident. And if he's, you know, if his engine is revving because he's actually downshifting, then your client would have had a great excuse and that would have been the end of it. It didn't also help that he had a body cam. And when he got out, he ran up to my client, you know, and he's looking up at him in the truck. Mm-hmm. And he says, how fast were you going? Do you know how, you know, you flew by me, you didn't even slow down. How fast were you going? And he says, 35 miles. And my client says, 35 miles an hour. He said, that's the speed limit. You're supposed to slow down. So I think we were kind of going to get hurt no matter what.
Okay.
But I think, had he testified, he said he slowed down. Had there not been proof that he had stated something to the contrary, I think we probably would have won, because I think he would have basically, I think we would have proved the case. I think we would have proved it by showing that he had slowed down. It's complicated, right? You know how trials are.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen. And sometimes people get it stuck in their heads and they stick to a story to the very end.
Right.
They take it to the end and then they realize at the end, oh,
Right, maybe
I should have told the truth that I changed lanes from the left to the right.
Got it.
So I don't know what happened. I'm not sure who was right, but you know, you walk away from stuff, and as the attorney, you learn.
Yeah, exactly. Is it your experience? This is what I'm assuming, but is it your experience that when these are charged and it's in court, that the prosecutors are a little less willing to, even with their good driving record, no criminal history, a little less likely to amend the charge, maybe?
Good question. You know, so here's the deal. On that particular case, this didn't happen in a vacuum, right? I mean, I walked up to that state's attorney and I was pleading with them to please reduce this. He's a CDL driver. Give him a bigger fine. Do something, right? Because the guy is going to get hurt. And then the story, as I was told, was that they talked to the police officer, and then he specifically said, no, he's not going to go along with it. And so he didn't want it reduced, which was kind of contrary behavior to what he said to me afterwards. He was upset that the guy actually changed from the left lane to the right lane towards him. And then he was upset about that. But afterwards, he made it seem as if he would have gone along with it. But that wasn't the case when I tried. So to answer your question, long story short, yeah, I mean, these are looked at a little more serious. I can tell you the judges, they're, you know, every time I ever hear a judge in court, they're upset about these. And they're like, man, what are you doing? You know, these guys are out there risking their lives. And especially last year, we had a couple state troopers got killed on the side of the road exactly for this, right? I mean, writing tickets, they got pulled over. And, you know, so that's not a fun thing. And these, you know, these guys are trying to make a living and just doing their jobs.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, we all understand why the law is there, and absolutely any protection we could give to law enforcement, we're going to extend it. But we're defense attorneys also, and we are putting people on notice is part of my job as well. So letting people know what's going on, what's out there, that this is happening, that this is a thing. One quick question before I let you go. I know you got a lot on your calendar. We've been talking about the scenario where an officer has typically probably pulled over to the right, is stopped. Does this include any language dealing with, let's say, a fire truck or an ambulance who's passing you? I'm going to assume there's the same type of commitments to pull over to the right, let these vehicles that need to get somewhere get where they're going.
Completely different law. I agree. Yeah, you got to get out of their way, right? I mean, but that's controlled by a completely different statute.
Gotcha.
That's not Scott's law. I mean, we've been calling it Scott's law the whole time. It's actually changed. It's actually called the move over law, but it's known now, you know, because of that case as Scott's law.
All right. No, it's good. That's why I ask. All right. Well, thank you so much, Peter, for sitting down, explaining this, giving me the information that I need to pass along to listeners. If somebody out there has either a civil law question on areas that you're familiar with, or even maybe something dealing with traffic, DUI, a Scott's law charge or allegation, how can somebody get in touch with you?
You can call me. My direct line is 847-823-9031. Or email me. Probably emails are good. You know, we're on the road a lot, right, in and out of court. And my email address is Peter, P-E-T-E-R, at Bellas, B as in boy, E-L-L-A-S, hyphen, not an underscore, Wachowski, W-A-C-H-O-W-S-K-I.com.
And what's your website real quick?
Oh, the website is www.bellas, B-E-L-L-A-S, hyphen, Wachowski.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for sitting down with me, explaining this. And I'm going to be very, very careful when I'm out there.
Thanks, Sam.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Criminal Nuggets podcast. Before I head out, let me remind you, if you are an Illinois attorney or you're an Illinois police officer, jump on over to IllinoisCaseLaw.com. Right there on that front page, you're going to see an advertisement for my ultimate police car search guide. Almost every question that you can think about that might come up on whether or not an officer can search a car, it's going to come up in this guide. I put it together for law enforcement departments, but it's very useful for practicing attorneys as well. Go to IllinoisCaseLaw.com. It's a hard copy thing. It's a printed edition. I send it to you 100% free if you're an Illinois attorney or law enforcement officer. And if you're not, you could still go there. I'll still send it to you, but there will be some postage and handling fees associated. Just go out, IllinoisCaseLaw.com, to get your hands on the ultimate police car search guide. And if you happen to see those flashing lights, slow down and move over. Give them all the room that they need. Don't be finding yourself in court fighting to keep your license. For crying out loud, let's be careful out there.